5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we are now going to shift gears and take time to talk some NBA, specifically in the Eastern Conference with the Toronto Raptors, who are so happy to be back home after a disappointing 2-4 road trip that cost them dearly, in fact, the Eastern Conference lead. But fortunately, that is behind them as they have completed the longest road trip of the season. It is a true pleasure to have with us tonight at YSR on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. That is the Toronto Raptors television play-by-play announcer, Matt Devlin. Good evening, Matt. It's nice to have you with us on this Friday night.
Well, thank you for having me. Great to be with you.
Oh, so many questions that I want to get into, but let's take time to recap for our listeners. The Toronto Raptors, they got off to such a hot start. They shot up the Eastern Conference and had a very impressive month of December. But throughout the course of an NBA season, you know this, you have to manage and muscle through injuries. And losing DeMar DeRozan certainly has tested the strength and the fortitude of this team. Just, you know, Matt, give us a sense of where the Raptors are at this point, because we are quickly approaching the midpoint of the season.
Yeah, we are. You know, I think, you know, one of the things that they have proven is that they're a resilient group. It's difficult, as anybody knows, you know, to manage an NBA schedule when you don't have an all-star on your roster. You know, with DeMar DeRozan being, you know, the all-star from a season ago on the Raptors roster, and certainly Kyle Lowry last year was deserving of it and was not voted in but or picked to go to the All-Star game. And so for DeMar DeRozan not to be a part of the Raptors, you know, lineup for 18 games, and for the Raptors during that stretch, even coming back from the West Coast, to be 11-7 without him, you know, says a lot about the depth of this team. It says a lot about Kyle Lowry and what he's been able to put on his shoulders, and also speaks to, you know, the bench that they have and the emerging players, and Jonas Valanciunas, who's just 22 years of age, as well as Terrence Ross, who's 23 years of age, and what they're capable of doing. And, you know, so without DeMar, you know, one of the things that happens, the game, you know, quickens a little bit, the pace picks up a little bit, and, you know, that affects ultimately their defense. And that's one of the things that, you know, certainly came about, you know, against Golden State as well as Phoenix. The 10 games prior to that, they had limited their opponent to 44% shooting, 43-44% shooting, and then those final two games of that West Coast trip, they shot better than 50% from the field. But once DeMar DeRozan is back, and the fact that they, you know, here they are with, you know, just a couple of games out of first place in the Eastern Conference, I think it speaks to how resilient this group is.
How is DeMar progressing? I mean, what is the timetable? I know that there was a lot of talk that he would have been back for Thursday night's game, but because he is such a critical piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's, you know, he's got a tremendous amount of determination and willpower, and he is, you know, certainly been someone that, you know, continues to improve his game, you know, to the point that last year he was an all-star. So, you know, at this stage, you know, there hasn't ever been a timetable, you know, put on his return, other than, you know, there was, you know, obviously speculation he'd return Thursday. And speaking to DeMar, you know, he wants it during this six-game homestand. You know, the Raptors, after, you know, going out west, you know, to the west for five games there, you know, they return home for a six-game homestand. So he's really eyeing, you know, the return you know, during this six-game homestand. And, you know, prior to this injury, he never had any sort of sustained injuries. I mean, he had missed a total of 11 games in his entire career. So he's been extremely durable throughout his career, and it's been, you know, tough for him to sit on the sidelines and watch. But it's also important that the Raptors have been able to grow, you know, without him, because I think they'll be stronger for it when he returns.
Well, DeRozan, it really does speak to his durability, and you can understand why perhaps he has been cautious in his return.
Well, I think that, you know, as far as his return, they want to make sure that, you know, he's 100%. And I think also the fact that the team is playing well without him, you know, well enough, obviously, to be, you know, over 500 without him, that it allows him to take the necessary time and energy and precaution that needs to be taken in order for him to come back and be successful.
Well, you're listening to the voice of Matt Devlin, the Toronto Raptors television play-by-play voice, right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And so with the absence of DeRozan, who has been that one key person that has stepped in and filled that massive gap? Because you're talking about missing 19 points per night.
Yeah, well, it's been Kyle Lowry for sure. I mean, there's really been, and John Wall's put up some really good numbers, but there really hasn't been, and as has Jeff Teague for that matter, but there really hasn't been a point guard in the East that has played at the level of Kyle Lowry. Kyle on the road overall in 17 games on the road averages better than 25 points a night, averages more than 7 assists a night. I mean, he takes on all comers and does a tremendous job. His minutes are up, his shots are up, because he understands that, you know, he has to do that in the absence of DeMar DeRozan. And, you know, he's somebody that, you know, on this West Coast trip over the five games averaged better than 24 points, nearly 8 assists, had better than 2 steals, shot 39%, nearly 40% from 3, shot 46% from the field, and has really been the guy that has taken his game to the next level. And what a lot of people don't realize is that a season ago, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were the number one scoring backcourt duo in the NBA. Number two was Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. And so without DeMar, you know, Kyle's game has stepped up. We've also seen more of Terrence Ross as he's moved from the small forward over to the shooting guard. He's had, you know, some games that have been extremely productive. More minutes, obviously, for Lou Williams coming off the bench, as well as Gravis Vasquez, and the Raptors do have a tremendous amount of depth in the backcourt.
Let's hit some more on the play and production of Kyle Lowry, who was named Player of the Month in the Eastern Conference in, what, the month of, was it December?
Yes.
I mean, how surprised are you that he's not getting more votes in next month's All-Star game?
Well, he has just surpassed Kyrie Irving for third overall, and I think that until, I think, voting ends on January 19th, if I'm not mistaken, I could see him make a push for second. He's about 100,000 votes away from second overall. I think there's no question that whether the fans vote him in, you know, whoever the Eastern Conference coach is, I would imagine that they would, you know, tend to go with him, because he's just been an integral part of what the Raptors, you know, have done. And so I'm not that surprised. And part of it is because if you look at, you know, the Eastern Conference, you know, who would have at this stage have said Atlanta's, you know, sitting atop the East, or Toronto is sitting, you know, atop the East as they did for 2 months, and here they are in second place. And, you know, some of the other teams that had higher expectations, you know, clearly, you know, right now, you know, scuffling a little bit. But it's a long season, as we know. And, you know, for Kyle, he's just been a true pro game in and game out, and is certainly deserving of headed to New York for the All-Star game.
More NBA talk coming your way at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we will be rejoined with Matt Devlin of the Toronto Raptors right after this. Hey, we are so glad you made it a point to join us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We absolutely love hearing from you. You can join us online at Twitter at eRadioSports, or always email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. We're hooping it up, going one-on-one with Matt Devlin, the Toronto Raptors television play-by-play. Been talking about the play, the production of Kyle Lowry. How has Kyle evolved? How much has his game improved from even 1 year ago? Because his turnovers are down.
Yeah, his turnovers are down significantly, and the Raptors play, obviously, at an extremely high rate. You know, they're top in the NBA in offensive rating. You know, I just think it's, you know, the maturation process, being drafted by Memphis, Houston, then traded for, you know, here to come to Toronto after spending time in Houston. And he's just somebody that I think has accepted the leadership role of this team, understands his importance on the team, had the ability during the offseason to leave if he wanted to via free agency. He decided to stay, you know, due in large part because, you know, he understood that, you know, he was, you know, a key piece to this team and his relationship with DeMar DeRozan, and that, you know, he wanted to help this team get to places that it hadn't been before, obviously. You know, trying to get into the second round, which they have done once in their franchise history. So, you know, he's really accepted, you know, that leadership role.
Hey, Matt Devlin with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. He's joining us on the Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. And the Raptors, they have had some setbacks. Obviously, we were talking earlier about some of the losses on the road, the overtime loss in Portland and Golden State and Phoenix, three tough losses. What has been the biggest concern for head coach Dwayne Casey?
Well, I think that, you know, from the standpoint of the defense, I think is the one thing that, you know, he kind of looks back at, you know, continually. He's a defensive-minded coach, but has, because of the roster makeup, has, you know, lifted, you know, that offense to greater heights. And I think that speaks to his, you know, coaching ability. And, you know, so for him, you know, he keeps it extremely basic in that, you know, the constant communication with the players is about, you know, obviously defensive rebounds and then also defense, and he tries to maintain that focus throughout, you know, understanding that, you know, this is a team that, you know, will pin itself back and mm-hmm. say, okay, you know, it's time now to get, you know, a critical stop, you know, and, you know, so for him, you know, I think it's just been really key. He has a saying, stay humble and hungry, and I think that that's what the approach of the team has been.
Well, I was going to ask you, what has been the approach defensively to clean things up? Is it about reinforcing those back-to-basic and fundamentals from training camp?
Well, you know, they spent some time at practice after being out west on some of those things. No, I think a lot of it, you know, has to do with DeMar DeRozan out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
What happens from a defensive standpoint, DeMar gets to the line, you know, better than eight times a game. That slows the pace of the game down. And then also DeMar gets to the mid-range, you know, and when he gets into the mid-range, as far as his jumper is concerned, you know, from 15 to 17 feet, you know, rebounds on missed shots aren't necessarily three-point runouts where guys get a long rebound and get out into transition. So I think that, you know, with DeMar and the way he plays offensively, it actually, in turn, helps out the defense. And then also, you know, most recently, when you look at a team like Golden State, you know, they can score at will, as we know. They're so good at sharing the basketball. And then also Phoenix can be extremely difficult to handle as well on the perimeter with the guards that they have. So, you know, it boils down to, you know, pace of play. And how do they get back to that pace of play? Some of that has to do with, you know, just getting DeMar DeRozan back, because that will help slow the pace down, will limit another team's possessions, which ultimately will, you know, benefit the Raptors' defense.
How good are, you know, healthy and having 100% of all the guys back? How good and how far can the Raptors go?
Well, I think that, you know, when healthy, they've proven to be, you know, one of the best teams in the East. And I certainly, coming into the year, expected them to win the Atlantic Division. I did not expect them to spend 2 months, you know, sitting atop the Eastern Conference, but they did. And I think that they're, you know, just being, you know, right there with Atlanta, obviously playing well, they have the ability to maintain, you know, that top three throughout. Although it's extremely close, 1-4, I think the key is, you know, if you're the Raptors, win the division, then you know you're going to be top three. And then certainly they have their sights set on, you know, advancing beyond the first round, and they're certainly capable of that, and quite possibly more, depending upon how the season plays itself out.
Hey, Matt Devlin with us. Just a few more minutes tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. And I think back to, what, the month of November, Dwayne Casey, he was named the Eastern Conference Coach of the Month and what becomes the first coach in team history to earn the award twice. What do you appreciate about him the most as a head coach? Because he certainly is building a winning culture there.
Well, he is. And, you know, he has the highest winning percentage in the history of any Raptor head coach. Did an excellent job. People may fail to remember that when he was relieved of his duties in Minnesota, that team was 20-20, right at 500. And they, when he was relieved of his duties in Minnesota, you know, that was a team that did not finish 500 on the season. And then obviously had a tremendous amount of success being the number one assistant to Rick Carlisle. I think, you know, the thing about, you know, Dwayne Casey that sets him apart, and you know, I mentioned this phrase earlier, you know, he talks a lot about being humble and hungry, which he, you know, certainly is, you know, as far as with this team and the team approach, but also he's extremely consistent in his message with his team. And I think that that certainly resonates as well, that, you know, he is, you know, somebody that, you know, isn't going to get too up and he's not going to get too down. When they were in first place, his response was very similar to his response after, you know, losing on Sunday and losing first on Friday, this past Friday, at Golden State, and dropping out of first place. And the same thing could be said for, you know, after a tough loss in Phoenix as well. You're going to get the same response out of him, you know, after a loss as you will a win. And I think that that's certainly beneficial during the length of a 82-game regular season.
Well, and the players believe in him. I mean, Kyle Lowry didn't pack his bags when free agency hit. I mean, he wanted to be a part of his system.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, the players, you know, appreciate what Dwayne brings on a daily basis to this team. And the relationship with Dwayne and Kyle continues to grow and be a positive one. And I think that that's partly why, you know, this team is as successful as it is right now.
Okay, Matt Devlin has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, the Toronto Raptors television play-by-play announcer. Of course, he's been joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. Have a good evening, Matt, and we look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, and have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. You stay close. Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we are continuing to get you ready for the matchup in this year's national title game with Oregon and Ohio State. We are so thrilled to have back with us from the Columbus Dispatch, Bill Rabinowitz, who has covered the Buckeyes since 2011. Of course, he's been featured on our show many times, recently released his book. It is titled Buckeye Rebirth, Urban Meyer, an Inspired Team, and a New Era at Ohio State. Bill is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Good evening. It's nice to have you with us on this Friday night, as always, Bill.
Thanks, Melissa. Nice to be back with you.
Well, I know you've been on the show many, many times, but what an incredible ride and journey for the Buckeyes this season. Here they are in the title game. It truly has been another historic season, and perhaps the best is ahead on Monday night. I don't know about you, but I've got the Buckeyes winning it all.
Yeah, I picked them to win Monday, and I picked Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, and I picked Michigan State to beat Ohio State in November, so I don't think I can be accused of being a homer, but I like the matchup for Ohio State. I think they can slow Oregon's offense enough to win the game. I think that their offense is really just cruising right now with Cardale Jones. I think Alabama's defense is a little tougher than Oregon's. Look, Oregon's a great team. They deserve to be there. I have a lot of respect for Marcus Mariota and the rest of the team. I think it's a great team. I just think that the way Ohio State's playing now in the matchup, I think Ohio State's going to win this game.
Well, Bill, I'm anxious to break it all down, the X's and O's and some of the keys, as you were just talking about, as we head into the title game on Monday night. But one of the opening questions that I definitely want to get to is you really have to tip your hat, and this goes in sync with the book that you had released last year. You have to tip your hat to Urban Meyer because we already knew that he was one of the best head coaches in all of college football, but how would you summarize what he has been able to accomplish this year because they have battled through a ton of adversity?
Yeah, there's no question. This team is immensely more talented than the 2012 team that I wrote about in Buckeye Rebirth, but it's also a very young team. Most of the production from this team has come from freshmen and sophomores. It's astounding. Joey Bosa is a sophomore. Carlyle Jones is a sophomore. JT Barrett is a redshirt freshman. Darren Lee is a redshirt freshman. Ezekiel Elliott's a sophomore. You go down the list. It's really unbelievable how young this team is. And what Urban Meyer and his coaching staff has done is get these guys to believe that they're ready to play, ready for this now. And even he admitted that he thought this team was a year away, particularly after they lost Braxton Miller in the preseason. So it's been a remarkable journey. If I decide to do a sequel, if they win and I decide to do a sequel, it'll be a better story than it was from the 2012 team.
Hey, sports writer with the Columbus Dispatch, Bill Rabinowitz, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, he is joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. And we'd love to hear from you. Join in on the conversation. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports. And you can always, if you're just dialing in, tuning in, you can always go back and listen to our entire interview at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. All of our amazing hosts here at our network. So talk some more about Urban Meyer. I mean, he's gone, what, 37-3 in 3 years at Ohio State, capturing the Big Ten title. He makes winning, you know, Bill, he makes winning look so easy. What's his formula to success?
Well, I think the winning looks easy because he makes practice so hard. He makes the preparation so hard. They're so intense that the games are kind of easy, at least in comparison. There's no question about that. One thing that he did this year that he didn't do in 2012, because he was really just building the foundation, was he put the coaches and the players through leadership seminars this year with a specific task, a specific goal to learn how to overcome adversity. And this team has had an amazing amount of adversity.
Wow.
Losing the quarterbacks and losing to Virginia Tech early in the year. When the college football rankings first came out, college football playoff rankings, they were 16th. I mean, you think about going from 16th to getting in. That's remarkable. And so, again, what he wanted to do in the offseason was teach his coaches, teach his players how to respond when things went wrong. And obviously a lot went wrong.
Hey, Bill Rabinowitz with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And, you know, I just step back, I think, to the start of the season, coming into 2014. I mean, there was so much anticipation with what Heisman Trophy candidate Braxton Miller. And then here steps in Cardale Jones, you know, totally, you know, whoops up on Wisconsin in that Big Ten championship. I just have to say, from a historical perspective, I mean, this has to be one of the most remarkable seasons in Ohio State history.
Absolutely. I can't recall any team ever going through three quarterbacks in a season and getting as far as Ohio State has. You know, there are certainly plenty of teams that have ridden backup quarterbacks to championships. I'm not sure there's ever been a team that never had the use of a starter. Like, Ohio State never had Braxton Miller this year and got to this point. It's remarkable. The Cardale Jones, who had played so little all year and has to replace Braxton or replace JT Barrett in the fourth quarter of the Michigan game, helps them win that game, and then obviously having to play Wisconsin. And people forget, Wisconsin was the favorite in that game. And
that's right.
It's 59-0 later. They found a way to earn a spot into the college football playoff. And I know it's controversial, but I think they've proved by beating Alabama, they were certainly a worthy team to be one of the top four.
Mm-hmm. Bill Rabinowitz joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. He is with the Columbus Dispatch. And of course, we always like to give a shout out. Hey, he had released a wonderful book. It's a compelling read. It's titled Buckeye Rebirth, Urban Meyer, an inspired team in a new era at Ohio State. And he's got a good problem that he's got to try to solve in the offseason. Let's look ahead here. I mean, give us some insight in terms of, with all these quarterbacks, he's got a bevy of them, so much talent at this position. Who in your mind is going to transfer?
Well, it's really impossible to predict what's going to happen. And it's a coaching cliche that when a coach says, I've got two good quarterbacks, it really means he has none. This will be the first time that a coach can ever say, I've got three quarterbacks and they're all good and people will believe it. I don't know what's going to happen. There are all these rumors about Braxton Miller transferring. He's eligible to transfer. He's a college graduate now. Do I think it'll happen? Maybe. But I know, despite the rumors, I know for a fact that nothing has been decided yet. I think what's going to happen, and this is the only thing that really can happen, Urban Meyer will sit down with Braxton Miller. He will, I'm sure, sit down with the other quarterbacks. And I think the only thing he can tell them, I think it'd be dereliction of duty to do anything else, would be to say, look, Braxton, you've got a shoulder injury. I don't know if you can come back. Look, JT, you've got a broken ankle. I don't know what your status is going to be. Cardale, I don't know what these other two guys are going to be like. I can't promise the job to anybody. How can he promise the job to Braxton Miller not knowing if he can throw? How can he promise it to JT Barrett if Braxton Miller is healthy? How can he? So I think what he's going to have to do is just say, look, I can't promise anything to anybody right now. It's just not the right thing to do. But the best man will win, just like in any position. The best player will play. And if Braxton Miller chooses, decides that's not good enough for him or that's not what he wants to hear, then maybe he'll transfer. It's just impossible to predict what's going to happen. And it is obviously it's a huge question. People are already speculating about it. I'm just not sure that there's an easy answer right now. I think it just has to play out over the next months.
What's your evaluation of Cardale Jones as a player? What stands out the most? Because I remember when he was going to be starting in that game against Wisconsin. I mean, I was a little bit nervous for him. I mean, here's a third-string quarterback and, hadn't played a lick, but he certainly has shined when the lights were the brightest.
Yeah, it's been an amazing story because it's been well documented that he has been immature at times in his career, that he has not taken it as seriously as he should have. And it's understandable. When you're a backup, it's hard to kind of have the motivation that you would have as a starter. But the thing that's been impressive about him since he took over are a couple things. One, his arm. He's just made pretty much all the throws. And we knew that. We knew he had a great arm. But we didn't know about the accuracy of that arm. And he's been very accurate, especially on the deep balls. And has shown some nice touch and decision-making. It would have been very easy for him when Ohio State had third down in the red zone against Alabama to really force a pass in there. Instead, he just threw it away when there was nothing there, and they took the field goals, as disappointing as that was. And I think his personality is also well-suited to the moment. He's a very happy-go-lucky guy. He doesn't take himself too seriously, but he takes his situation now very seriously. He's unfazed by things. I mean, he's had a very difficult background. His upbringing was a very difficult one. So adversity on the football field, it's not that big a deal compared to what he's overcome in his life.
Only got about 30 seconds. How much has he matured under head coach Urban Meyer and his influence?
Oh, a tremendous amount. I mean, there's the infamous tweet from a couple years ago when he was sitting in a class and basically said, why am I here in class? I'm here to play football.
Yes.
And he's learned from that.
One of our favorites, Bill Rabinowitz, has been with us, sports writer with the Columbus Dispatch, tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's been joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. Always a pleasure. Enjoy the game. And go Buckeyes, right?
Thank you, Lisa. Always nice to be with you.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead at YSR. Okay, we're wrapping things up in the fastest 2 hours in radio at Yahoo Sports Radio as we are inside the Quicken Loan Studios on this Friday night. We're going to continue and get you set for the College Football National Championship as it is finally upon us, Oregon and Ohio State. It's time now to welcome in a gentleman who knows exactly what it takes to win it all. He did it 3 times at the University of Nebraska, 3-time national champ and Husker great Jason Peter, who is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Good evening, Jason. It's so nice to have you with us.
How are you doing, eh?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's been a little bit cold here in Houston, but I know you're going to warm me up tonight because the stage is set, and we're getting ready to focus our attention on, obviously, one of the biggest storylines, and that is Oregon and Oregon State. I know a lot of folks have Oregon as the favorite, but I'm picking the Buckeyes to win it all. What say you?
Yeah, and you might not be wrong there. Obviously, from a personal level, I look at it, and Scott Frost, who is my old quarterback, at least for one of those championships in 1997, he's the offensive coordinator out there at Oregon. So just from that standpoint, I'm pulling for Oregon. But it seems like Ohio State is just a team of destiny here. I mean... It's really remarkable, and I know we've said this week after week, but what Urban Meyer has done, given the situation out there in Columbus, with quarterbacks, and it just seems like there is absolutely zero drop-off. In fact, you could make the argument that they've gotten better, since Cardale Jones has taken over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you sit here and you say to yourself, okay, is this going to be the game that maybe is too big for, the quarterback starting his third game of the year? And, you know, because I think that's the way you think for most guys, is that at some point the stage is going to be maybe just a little bit too big, right? But what's bigger than, you know, in his case, the Big Ten Championship as the first game of, you know, his season? And what do you do, you know, after you absolutely annihilate Wisconsin? Well, you pretty much take Alabama out to the woodshed. I mean, that was a physical game, but I think you started to see, you know, in the third and fourth quarter, Alabama players were dropping like flies. And that only happens when you are head and shoulders more physical than the other team that you're playing. And that's a big, big statement, because Alabama kind of sets the bar. I think when people, you know, they're talking college football and you're talking, you know, the physicality of it, and yeah, you know, everybody loves Nick Saban because it's kind of like an old school sort of thing. He's going to punch you in the mouth, and and yeah, they got, you know, a lot of speed down there, but they're a physical, physical football team.
So
Ohio State was more physical than Alabama, and that says a lot. So, you know, what's going to happen, you know, for Cardale Jones, you know, is this national championship game finally going to be the game that, you know, is a little too big, you know, the show's too big? I don't think so. I think if he's been able to get through those first two games of his career, why would this one be any different?
Going to hit on Cardale Jones here in just a moment, but I want to go back to that Alabama game as you were just talking about. I mean, do you think in your mind that Urban Meyer, he did outcoach Nick Saban because of what we witnessed against Alabama? I mean, Ohio State was clearly not only an equal, but ultimately they passed the test and they proved to be the better team.
Yeah, you know, certainly I guess an argument to be made there for Urban Meyer and outcoaching him. You know, this is the thing. I mean, the Big Ten, and I know, you know, throughout the bowl season, and then obviously with Ohio State winning, you know, Big Ten, I said something on Twitter. I said, you know, for all you Big Ten fans, I said, you're just as bad as the SEC fans, you know, with the whole SEC, you know, the whole, we're in our own little world. And now that, you know, the Big Ten had a pretty good bowl season, and then Ohio State obviously, you know, carrying the torch, everybody now is all, you know, the Big Ten, the Big Ten, the Big Ten. So, you know, I kind of had hinted to that, and obviously a lot of Big Ten followers on my Twitter handle, and they didn't really think the same. But for a guy, you know, I never played in the Big Ten. I was always a Big 8 or a Big 12 guy, so I don't have any real true connection to the conference. So for me, looking, you know, on the outside in, it's very, very similar. But you know, Ohio State, I don't think anybody thought they would do what they did, but Urban Meyer has built that team like an SEC team. And the only reason that he's able to do that is because you have a coach that's won a couple national championships
right.
for an SEC team, and he's got that following. He's got that respect from not just the kids that are playing in high school, but from the kids' parents and, you know, kids' friends and uncles and everybody else who may be involved in the football world. So when it comes time, you know, for those kids to make that decision, whether they're going to go to Florida or LSU or Alabama or Ohio State, you know, the uncle or the father is sitting there and saying, you know what, anything that you want to do at one of these SEC schools, you can do out at Ohio State because Urban Meyer is running that show out there. And, you know, you can tell by the players that they have and the skill players and the linemen, you know, they have guys that if you took, you know, an all-star roster of SEC players, you know, there would be quite a few guys that Ohio State could have on that roster, you know, and starting. So, you know, it's not like they were deficient, you know, in terms of talent, whereas, you know, the coaching was the ultimate equalizer or for Ohio State, you know, the thing that put them over the top. I just think that they executed the game plan better than Alabama executed theirs.
Hey, you're listening to the voice of Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. And, you know, let's just step back for just a moment, Jason. We look at the Big Ten Conference. It really seems like a renaissance is now taking place. You've just been highlighting all the accomplishments of Urban Meyer, how he's been able to parlay all of that now at Ohio State. But with the addition of Jim Harbaugh, we intended to get it to this topic last week, but ran out of time. I mean, it certainly has inoculated that conference with a whole new perception.
It's been a great 2 weeks for the Big Ten, and Jim Harbaugh out there at Michigan, I don't think they could have hired anybody better. If he's there, it's a job for him that he can see himself doing for a while. I think it's an absolute grand slam. And let's just say even if he doesn't, let's say his ultimate goal is, to win Super Bowls. And he only stays at Michigan for, 3-4 years. I'm pretty sure he'll leave that program better than, where it is 2 weeks ago. So, it's a win-win for them, but Nebraska is looking at this thing, and after Michigan hires Harbaugh, I think people look at the Nebraska hire of Mike Riley, and now they're really scratching their head, thinking, oh man, you just be thankful that you're playing in the West, because this East is kind of a beast to get through with, Urban Meyer and D'Antonio at Michigan State, and you got James Franklin and Harbaugh now. So you've got a good half of the conference in that East.
Oregon, Ohio State on Monday night at the College Football National Title Game. It is set, and always giving you the best that we've got. That's because Jason Peter joins us each and every week right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He knows exactly what it takes to win a national championship. Did it 3 times under head coach Tom Osborne. Always a pleasure. Enjoy the game. It's an awesome weekend, I know, with all the football that's going on. And we certainly look forward to your perspective next week. Thank you so much, Jason, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Special thank you to all of our guests in our lineup tonight. Of course, that was Jason Peter. We also want to take time to recognize and thank Bill Rabinowitz, the sports writer with the Columbus Dispatch, Cliff Harris of the Dallas Cowboys, Jeff Garcia with Project Spurs, Matt Devlin with the Toronto Raptors, and Freddie Coleman with ESPN. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports right here at YSR.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.